faithfully and accurately. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn. We're going to our new study this morning. Go to the book of, or the epistle of Galatians. That's where we're going to be this morning. Incredible short chapter, but man, it is a power-packed epistle if there ever has been one. You know, this is a great study, and we don't want to rush through it, and sometimes we have a tendency because, you know, we don't see flowers and trees and stories and all the rest of the things, or Paul, you know, submerged someplace in the ocean and all of that. This is a different kind of epistle. Matter of fact, it is the most passionate, most concise, if you will, statement of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ found anywhere in the entirety of Scripture. Yes, Romans, but here there is a defense going on, not just a declaration of the justification of faith, but there is a defense of the good news, the truth of the gospel, the incredible grace of God. As you study this book, written, I don't know, it doesn't matter when it's really written, unless you're just like a tremendous, you know, in-depth biblical scholar. It's probably A.D. 48 to A.D. 58 right in there, if you're curious. I know it was written about 2,000 years ago. That's good enough for me. But as you study, now this epistle, listen carefully, you'll notice that there's not a word of celebration or thanksgiving or you're doing a good job or any of that in Paul's letter. Matter of fact, there's not even a request from Paul for prayer or any of those things. It's a different kind of epistle. Matter of fact, Paul the Apostle, when he writes and pens this letter by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is abrupt. He comes out, if you will, like fighting. He's like the John Wayne, the Rambo, or whatever. And he comes out, and there's not one shred of the doctrine of tolerance that is practiced today, unfortunately, or forced into being practiced by many people in this nation. There's not a shred of the practice of tolerance here at all. Paul boldly states, as every Christian, there is only one gospel, there is only one Savior, there is only one God, and there is only one way to be saved. Amen? And that's what Paul does. So the theme of Galatians that I like, it could be, you'd call it freedom in Christ, that's a great theme because it is, but I call it the truth of the gospel because it's written, it speaks of that over and over and over. So Galatians, this great epistle now, gives every generation since it has penned the greatest, it answers the greatest question on this planet. What really makes a Christian? Is it faith plus works? Is it faith alone? Are you following me? That's what Paul is getting ready to answer this question for us. You know, four or five times in Scripture, from Habakkuk all the way forward to Romans 1:17, the Bible tells us this, that the just, that's us, the just shall live by faith. Amen? And we need to live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for us and who loved us as well. Luther called this epistle, he said this, Galatians is my epistle. I have wedded myself to it. It is my wife. This morning in 11 verses, let's look at the truth of the gospel. Paul writes, and he said, Paul, an apostle, not for men and not through man, but whom? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Loved one, you know it, I know it. Without the resurrection of the Lord, we don't have Christianity. Amen? We don't have any good news. We don't have the gospel. We have absolutely nothing. So Paul, again, he opens up, he says, with his apostolic authority, he says, listen, I am one sent on a commission by the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read this letter, you might as well read it as if the Lord typed it out himself, in other words. Paul, his apostleship, it didn't come through any human channel. It didn't come through any human source. Matter of fact, not any person on the planet had anything to do with Paul's calling or his apostolic calling that the Lord Jesus gave unto him there on the Damascus Road when he was saved. Matter of fact, look at verse 11 in chapter 1 here. Let me read it to you. Paul says, I want to make known to you, brethren, that the gospel, the good news, the truth of the gospel, if you will, the grace of God, which was preached by me, is not according to man. For it neither I received it, meaning the gospel, the good news, from man, and watch what he says, nor was I taught it. In other words, the other apostles didn't teach him at all, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, next Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll get into that. But look at verse 2 now. Here's his greeting, if you want to call it that. It's not much. He says, and all the brethren who are with me, they're all unnamed. I think the only name that I hear in Galatians may be Barnabas, if I'm not mistaken. And he says, all the brethren who are with me, and look what he does. He says, to the churches, plural, of Galatia. Now remember when Paul, on his first, I believe it was, his first missionary trip, there in Acts 13 or wherever, you remember he established Lystra and Derbe and Iconium and all that. That was the Galatian, the region of the Galatians now. So he pins this and he starts out not like any of the other epistles. No praise, no thanksgiving. Matter of fact, he did to the church at Corinth. Think about it for a moment. I mean, a divided church, a carnal church, acting like they were mere men or people that were not even saved. They were suing one another, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, abusing the gifts of the Spirit, questioning the resurrection, all those things. Paul started out the epistle in 1 Corinthians to them. He called them the called of God, the sanctified of God. Not here. He doesn't say that to this group of people at all. Again, Paul has absolutely no tolerance, and I thank God for that. And I look and I say, oh, Paul, you're going in for the kill. And let me tell you the reason is because the greatest news that has ever been given to this world, the great gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, is being stolen. It's being ripped away from these churches by these Judaizers or these false teachers who taught that Jesus wasn't enough. They were saying, you know what? I believe, yes, okay, we have the gospel. But they would come into these churches after Paul founded them and they left, and they would say, but you have to keep something else to really be saved. You're going to have to be circumcised, and you're going to have to pray. You have to be a Jew, in other words. The Mosaic rites and so forth. We find that, I'm not going to quote it, but you'll find that over in Galatians 5, 16, I believe, or 15. And also, Galatians 6, 15 and Galatians 5, 6. So you'll find that what Paul says, circumcision availeth nothing but a new creation in Christ. Now, look at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from this world that we live in. No, you can't find that there. This is God's grace, God's peace that comes from our Father in heaven. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace can only be realized by someone who has been born again, and they are now in Christ Jesus. And then he says, as we begin the text, this Jesus Christ, our Lord, and look what he did, of his own volition, his own willing heart, he wanted to, he gave himself. He took our place. He died in our place. He came from heaven to this stinking earth. Who gave himself for our what? Sins. That's a very important word in our text this morning. He gave himself for our sins. So Paul says, you know what? There's only one gospel to these people who are now falling away from the grace of God. He says there's only one gospel, there's one Savior, and there's only one Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins. Loved one, listen to me. That is the truth of the good news. Jesus gave himself for our sins. And the truth of the matter is that we should jump out of our chairs and we should be shouting and we should be praising God, because no man, no woman ever born of woman has ever overcome their sins. Not one sin. Not the smallest sin. They can't put it away. It's absolutely impossible. No, man, there's only one way to remove the wages of death. Remember the wages of death, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You have to receive something. But the gift of God, that free gift of God, is eternal life in only one person, and that's Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, God proved himself, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says in Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and create for himself an own special people created for good works. As a matter of fact, zealous for good works. Now, but just not our sins. There at the Jordan one day, John the Baptist was standing and he was waiting on the Messiah to come, and he looked up and he said, oh, in John 1:29, he said, oh, behold, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, the only sacrifice ordained by God, the only one that can save a person from their sins. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who does something, who takes away the sins of the world, not just our sins, loved one. All the sins of all the world, and only Jesus is worthy of our praise. Amen. And let me say something else. There's not another sacrifice that God has ever or will ever ordain to take away the sins of the world. Jesus said in John 19:30, it's gone. It's finished. Now listen carefully. I know you know this, but it's important to remember it again or hear it again. Every person, thanks to Adam, every human being ever born on this planet was born into two things, sin and death. Yet, if you're an unbeliever, you don't know the Lord, you believe, really, that you're already free, that you don't need any freedom. Because, see, an unbeliever is dead and trespasses and sins. They're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead, and they don't know it. They have to be made alive, amen? They have to be born again. The blinders from Satan, the mental blindness, has to be removed from their minds. Jesus paid for the sin, singular, the sin of the world. All of the sin, all of the mass of humanity, that penalty has been paid for and it has been taken away, and I rejoice in that. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:5, it says, and we know that he, meaning Jesus, was manifested, that's his first coming, was manifested for our sins, and in him there is no sin. He's a sinless Son of God. He was manifested, it said, to take away our sins. When we celebrate communion on Wednesday night, I quote Psalm 103:12-13, every time our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Now that is the truth of the gospel. And that's what we call grace. Listen to me now. Our sin no longer belongs to you. It has been taken away. Jesus suffered for you in your place. He died as you. I know you're with me. Amen? That's a glorious, glorious truth. And the purpose of it all, look at verse 4 again, that he might deliver us, take us out of, or rescue us from this present world, I should add, which is what? Evil. This evil age contrasted to the incredible age that is coming. Now listen, one purpose, and there are many purposes, but one here. One purpose of the good news, the gospel of grace, is to rescue us not from the material world, okay? But we're not of this world, but it's not to rescue us from the material world right now, but from this evil world. Jesus said in John 17:15, remember his high priestly prayer when he was praying for us, he says, Father, I pray that you should not take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's what Jesus prayed for us, for the disciples. Loved one, listen, we live in a world, Romans 12:2, but we're not to be conformed to this world, this present evil age that we live in. It is ungodly. It is wicked. But see, we're saved. We're born from above. We're rescued from the wicked one. He touches us not. And it says not only have we been rescued, but when we were rescued, we automatically became citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait, and we do right now, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or transferred or deported us, if you will, taking us out of this junky kingdom of the darkness and translated us over into the kingdom of his dear son. John the Apostle, the old man, when he was old, he writes this, he who is he who overcomes the world, meaning this present evil age. It's he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Galatians, they were being deceived. Matter of fact, the false teachers, just like today, they were taking them away or out of the gospel of grace, God's unmerited favor, and taking them into or taking them out of their freedom, taking them out of their liberty, and putting them in bondage, the bondage of the law, taking them out of the truth of the gospel. And it says there, it says, according to the will of whom? Our God. God sent Jesus, his son, to this earth, loved one. It says, according to the will of God and our Father. So it was God's will to rescue man. It's God's will to rescue man still in this generation. Amen? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, here's the thing. If you remember before you were born again, you know, did you notice that you had a will and you still have a will? You had a free will. But our own will, no matter what we were trying to get through, get over, our own will could never make us better, really. Do you understand? Or improve us? Not really. Oh, we could go through the motions or whatnot. But listen, our own will cannot deliver us. And matter of fact, if you're fallen, you don't know the Lord, you don't even want to be rescued. You don't even want to be delivered because you don't understand any of it. But the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received Jesus, he gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, meaning born again, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, there's that word, but of the will of God. And then it says, as he closes out to get into what he wants to talk about, this is a great doxology, loved one. Look what he says, to whom be glory, meaning that praise. We were singing hallelujah to him just a moment ago. He says, to him be praise and honor, the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Who is going to be saying that to the Lord, giving him honor? That's us. That's what we're going to be doing. Listen, we, loved one, we've been redeemed. We've been purchased, bought. That's what that word means. Purchased out of slavery, if you will. We've been redeemed from the ruined race of Adam. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm telling you what, I rejoice in that. Because Adam's race is ruined. It's horrible. Adam's race is messed up, man. Oh, and I look at this and I say, oh Lord, one day that doxology of Paul's, we're going to be in heaven. And you know what we're going to be doing up there? We're going to be giving praise and honor to the one who is worthy. Amen. Let me just read quickly from what we're going to be doing when we make it up to heaven. It says in Revelation 5:9, and they, meaning the church that is in heaven, they sang a new song. And here it says, here it is. You are worthy. Talking about Jesus. You're worthy to take the scroll. You're worthy to open its seals. Why? Why? For you were slain, in other words, the cross, and have redeemed us to God by the blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, and have made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign on earth. That is the 1,000-year reign, the millennial. Oh, loved one, that's what you're going to be doing, singing that new song. And it even gets better. Listen to this one. In Revelation 5:11, John says, oh, I looked, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times, 10,000 times, thousands and thousands. In other words, you can't count how many. And what were they saying with a loud voice? Here it comes. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's what we're going to be singing, loved one. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Why? Oh, he's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And watch, listen carefully. And every creature which is in heaven, every person upon earth, under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. Loved one, listen. We will be there. You will witness all of the entire creation of God Worthy is the Lamb. Do you hear that? What a day that's going to be. How could anybody want to go against the incredible truth of the gospel of the unmerited divine favor of God? No, no. And look what happens. Paul now starts, and his heart, I know, is broken. We know Paul's heart from 2 Corinthians. Amen? Oh, it's broken. And look what he says. He says, man, you are blowing me away. I am dumbfounded. I marvel, he says, that you are deserting. That word turning away means you're deserting. You're a turncoat. He says that you're deserting what? So soon. I mean, you just came to the Lord. You're born from above. You're filled with the Spirit of God. And he said, now you're a bunch of God deserters. Look at it. You're turning away so soon from him, meaning God, who called you into the what? The divine favor of God, the grace of God, the finished work of Christ. Oh, but you look what they've gone to, a different gospel. You know what Julius Caesar said about the Galatian people? He said, they are a fickle people, they are fond of change, and they are not to be trusted. Well, obviously they are a very fickle people back then. Now, Paul says, I don't understand. I'm completely blown away that you would turn from the gospel of grace to the gospel of bondage, meaning the law. That's what was happening. Why would you turn away from the freedom that is in Christ and go to the gospel of legalism, the gospel of works, or the gospel of self-effort, and only by human effort, you know, and not God's power? Paul says, why in the world would you do that? Why would you turn to a different gospel where you will not find Jesus at all? You'll not find the grace of God. That's what Paul is crying out here. There's only one good news. Only one. Everything else is bad news. Do you hear me? There's only one good news. It's the gospel. And Paul says about this different gospel, he says, which is not even another. It's not a gospel at all, because there's only one true gospel. But there are some, you should underline that in your Bible, because that's the false teachers. There are some who trouble. They trouble you. That word means to agitate. They stir you up. They lead you away. And look what they desire. They trouble you and want to pervert, to change, to transform, to make something the opposite of from what it is. That's what that word pervert means. It says, who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. If you looked in Acts 2:20, when it talked about the sun turning to darkness, or in James 4:9, mourning turned to laughter, that's the word that's being used here. It's something that is totally opposite of what God intended. The false teachers were leading them completely away. They were perverting and changing the truth of the gospel into salvation by works. I can earn it. God will accept me. Why? Why would they do that? Because they were teaching something that breaks my heart. I don't even want to say it. They were teaching that Jesus was not enough. What a horrible thing to say, even to think. Jesus is just not enough. In other words, the gospel of grace, God's unearned, undeserved, unconditional, unchanging grace. Jesus' death, the burial, resurrection, ascension is just not enough. You need more. You need the gospel of legalism. Oh, you need to get, you know, a better grip on your life. The gospel of legalism always tells you this. It says you can do it, but you can't do it. You see, legalism always attempts something that is impossible. Have you noticed that legalism, and it's preached in many churches, try to conform you, make you do something without the power of the Holy Spirit? It can't make you well. Legalism, listen, legalism says, I can change myself, I can improve myself, but that can't happen. It'll never happen. That's a works righteousness. Rules can never change a person. You can make as many as you want, you know? But rules don't change a person's inner nature, does it? No, you have to be born from above. There can't be two gospels, one for works, one for grace. It's impossible. It doesn't happen that way. So the false teachers, as we will learn later on, their teaching is you have to be circumcised. You have to be a Jew. Well, circumcision is something of the flesh. The flesh can't help you. That's something also you can do. Or I was baptized. Something you can do. Baptism doesn't save you. It's the blood of Jesus that saves you. Amen? You have to repent first. Save me. Then you get water baptized. Now, with all that being said, Galatians 5:1, when we get there later, it'll say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled or don't be made slaves again with the yoke of bondage, meaning the slavery to the law. I indeed, Paul says to you, if you become circumcised, Jesus Christ will profit you nothing. It's no use to you. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he's a debtor now to keep the whole law. So if you want to live under the law, trying to be accepted by God, well, you better keep all of the law. And no man can keep the law. Amen? Or no one is saved by the law either. So he says, so I testify to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged or severed from Christ Jesus, the Savior. You who attempt to be justified by the law. You cannot be justified in the eyes of God by the law. It's an impossibility. The law can't save people. It has never saved anyone. He says, now you've fallen from grace. You've walked away from the divine, unmerited, unconditional grace of the living God. Man, you can't earn the free gift that God provides. That's the truth of the gospel, loved one. Verse 8. Now watch this. But even if we, that means Paul, all the apostles, any Christian in that era, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be what? Let him be damned. Let him go into everlasting hell forever and ever. That's pretty severe, loved one. He says, let me say it again. As I have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, and may I add the scripture just for clarity, not adding, you know what I mean, in any generation, doesn't matter when, then or today, if anyone preaches any other gospel, meaning the truth of the gospel, the grace of the living God, to you, than what you have received or welcomed into your heart, the things that Paul taught, let him be accursed. I'm going to tell you, there's no doctrine of tolerance with Paul there. Amen? And you know what? When I read that, anyone who comes against the cross of Christ and the grace of God should tremble. Every cult in the world should get on their knees and tremble for what they're going to face. Do you understand? Have you ever noticed how the cults, man, they work. They work so hard. And, you know, they work to get error out, but they never do that for truth. That's what the cults do. I'm going to tell you, false teachers, and there are plenty today, that deny, say, the blood of Jesus or even the resurrection of Jesus. I tremble for those people. I don't know. It's crazy. You know, false teachers should tremble because the strongest language in the entire Bible is reserved, listen now, not for murderers, not for fornicators, not for adulterers, none of those things at all. It's reserved for those who pervert and change the incredible grace of the living God. Man, this is unbelievable. It leaves only one thing for them. They are accursed. They're doomed. They're cut off from Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen to me. The test of the gospel of grace, the truth of the gospel, the test of the gospel is not how popular, loved one, a teacher is. God, this generation needs to get over that. We have movie stars, man, that are in the pulpit today. I don't want to be a movie star. Well, if I made the money, I wouldn't mind, but it's not how many books someone has written. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how many radio broadcasts around the nation or on the world. It doesn't matter if they have a 10,000, 20,000 member church. That doesn't matter at all. Listen, the test of the gospel is not how he's a powerful ministry. Well, praise the Lord, but that's not the test. The test of the gospel is this. Is that person teaching and preaching the truth of the gospel, which is the grace of the living God? That is the truth. Man, right there, the gospel of grace. See, it's not the messenger. We got to get our eyes off the messenger, loved one. You need to get your ears on the message. You need to hear what I'm saying. Test me. Test what I'm preaching to you. You say, well, Bill, I believe, I trust you. Don't trust me. Trust God's word. Amen? Make sure. Make sure that you're hearing and understanding what God is saying. Your life, your very life depends upon it. God says, listen, you don't touch my grace. You don't mess with grace. You don't ever pervert or try to change what my grace is to any generation or to any person. That's the most severe curse, again, found in the Bible. Imagine someone saying that the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ and God's incredible, unconditional, unchanging grace is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. You have to have something else. And no different than the rich young ruler came to the Lord. What must I do to be saved? Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know, you got a problem, buddy. You can't save yourself. See, the grace of God rules out all human effort and works, okay? It's so important. See, many believe today in salvation by faith, but not many believe in by salvation in faith alone. You mean that's it? If I believe in my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, or I'm sorry, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I will be saved. That's a promise from God. No, but do I have to? No, you can't do anything to do it. But no, it won't work. You mean I just have to? You just have to believe. Truly believe in your heart. The mind and the heart, the tongue and the heart, whatever, they have to be connected. Listen to me. Faith plus anything will lead you to religion. Let me read Romans 4:1. What shall we say then to Abraham, our father, meaning our forefather? What has he found? According to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified, declared righteous before God, if he was justified by works, by his own effort, okay, I earned something. Now listen, it says he is something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Man, I love that. Look at that. Let me read it to you again. What does the scripture say? That should be your cry. That should be the cry of the church. Well, what does the Bible say about it? What does the scripture say about it? It says all that Abraham did, Genesis 5:6, he believed God. What did he believe? You know what God, took him out there and said, oh, Abraham, look up at the stars. Look up at them. Can you count them? Can you number them? So shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness, in right standing with God. Not human effort, not any works at all. Listen carefully. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, if you work for something and say, okay, I made work 10 hours and I paid you, you earned it. Amen? Okay. Are y'all with me? Okay, but to him who does not work, in other words, cease from all effort. All you can do is just believe. Him who doesn't work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Man, justification by works? No. It's only justification by faith. That would be a direct opposite, loved one. If salvation or right standing with God is found through any human effort, Jesus' birth and death and life and ascension and all the rest of it was unnecessary. Completely unnecessary. No one can be saved under a system of works. But the Judaizers, oh man, just like today, they perverted the truth of the gospel. They denied that God's grace was sufficient. Now listen, most everyone truly believes. And it's a natural thing, isn't it? If I just be good enough, God will love me and accept me. I mean, or if there is a God, you know, and I'm trying to be a good person, surely that'll count for something. No, that's works. Under a system of works, self-effort, everything depends upon you, your effort. Amen? But under a system of grace, everything depends upon Jesus. I depend on him. Oh, grace, I can't live without grace. I can't breathe without grace. I mean, I'm not perfect. I know you probably think I am. No, I mean, I get on the freeway like you do, and I look at those people. I mean, come on. I'm, you know, yeah. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who is going to be able to deliver me from this body of death? It is. Sin is a body of death. It's on me right now. He's an old man, and he clings to this junk. Inside, I'm a brand new person. He wants to rule me every day. Talking about sin, talking about Adam, the old man, the old nature. Oh, but thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's grace. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus the Lord. No judgment. Our sins have been taken away. I look and I say, oh God, I'm so thankful for that. And then he writes, Paul, verse 10, look quickly. He says, well, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? No, that's what the false teachers were doing. For if I still, meaning he used to, not anymore, if I still pleased men, I would not be a slave, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Faithful, true, faithful, godly, Holy Spirit-filled teaching, loved one, is not always popular. Not then, not today. Absolutely, Paul's heart was always to win others to Christ, but it was never to win the approval of man. You can't have the approval of God if you want the approval of man. Do you understand? It doesn't work that way. Paul lived for one person, for me to live as Christ. You can't live for both, man and God. No, you can't serve two masters. It's an impossibility. Paul did not practice the doctrine today. That's what I call it, the doctrine of tolerance. It's thrown in your face in the news, and news everywhere. It's everywhere. Now listen carefully. The Bible is very clear. 1 John 5:19. We know that we're of God. We know that we belong to the Lord. We're born again. And that the whole world, this present evil age, the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. Now listen carefully. Mankind, all of us, every person that's being born today, mankind is born fallen. They're born in sin because Adam sinned. And when he sinned, he's the federal head of the human race. All man sinned. Sin entered in. And so death spread to all men. Amen? Okay, that's Romans 5, 11, 12, 13, right in that area. Now, with all that being said, fallen people, lost people, they don't know that they're fallen, and they are born completely desiring an independence from God. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. And they would never say that they were under the sway of the wicked one, but they are. Now, with all that being said, there is only one true gospel. There is only one Savior. They say, when I say that, the world tells me now I'm a bigot, or I'm maybe a racist, or that you're too narrow-minded. That's what this present evil age tells you and tells me. We live in this very present, real, evil age. Our world is out of control. Our nation and our society is out of control. And I see the perversion of the gospel, the removal of the gospel, like never before in our land. We should be contenders for the faith. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. If you remove the gospel, and it's being removed, I read that, I forget the guy's name, You Can Kiss Dating Goodbye. That it was a very popular book. Very popular book. He just stepped out of the pastorate and denied Jesus Christ as Lord. I went, what? What? I don't believe in it anymore. I don't believe in him and grace, none of those things. Listen to me now. If you remove, like the false teachers were doing then, and even today, if you remove the gospel, there is no hope. Do you understand? We need the gospel of grace. There is no life. Do you understand? Oh, loved one, listen, if there's no grace, there's not even any power. If there's no grace, then God doesn't exist. Do you understand? There's no right or wrong. You can do anything that you want to do. Every person on this planet is either in Adam, they die, all die. Are there in Christ? That's it. We need to just understand that completely. And if you're in Christ, all live. The only way to get out of Adam, as you've heard me say all these years, the only way to get out of Adam and sin and death and hell and all the rest of it is the truth of the gospel. That's it. There is no other way. Now listen to me. People are going to send me some horrible emails for what I'm about to say. They might even send me nasty letters. They might even show up to my office. And that's okay. I love people. I'm talking about the gospel of grace right now. There is only male or female. Do you understand me? I'm so overwhelmed with that, with what I'm seeing. I would have never believed what I'm seeing. Someone told me, I said, there's no way. Loved one, listen to me. There's only male or female. You cannot birth a transgender. Only a present evil age can give birth to a transgender. Are you listening to me? There is no such thing as LGBTQT. Now, Bill, you're getting really in trouble. I love anyone who is an LGBTQTZWXYZ. I don't care. I love you. I want to see you saved. There is no such thing as it. They say, well, no, wait a minute. I was born gay or I'm created this way. No, only the LGBTQWs, whatever they are. I'm not beating them up. I don't know. Only a present evil generation, an evil age, can birth that. Are you listening to me? Yes, that's the only thing. No, God made me this way. He created me this way. No, don't blame God. God had nothing to do with that. I'm sick of hearing that. You want to blame something? Get your mind right. Blame sin. Do you understand? Blame sin. You were born in sin. I was born in sin. Sin, not God, is what births murderers. There's people in this city right now plotting a murder. Right this minute. Why? Not God. Sin. Sin births adulterers and fornicators and child sex traffickers and pedophiles. Don't ever say, God, I was born this way. God created me this way. No, sin created you that way. The Bible says, let me just read it to you. I want to get every word right. And I know it's in the Bible. Blessed, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say in any generation, in any time, let no one say when he's tempted, oh, I'm tempted by God. Oh, no. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself, tempt anyone. For each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to what? To sin. You see what I'm getting at now? God doesn't do that. Sin gives birth. It gives birth to sin. And in sin, and when it's full grown, it brings forth death. Oh, listen, loved one. A person can only be in Adam or only be in Christ. You can only one day be in heaven or one day you're going to be in hell. There's only one God. There are no other gods. There's only God. Amen? He is God our Father. There is no other Savior but one, and it is our Savior Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Those that are lost, maybe you're listening live. Now you're going to listen whenever this is put out on the radio. Listen carefully. If you're in Adam, you're in sin and you can't help it. You're an Adam. He sinned for you. And you know what? Sin will take you to places you don't want to go. It will take you to the deepest, darkest areas. For sin, his lawlessness, has no law. It does what it wants. Sin. Who would come against the gospel of grace? I look and I say, oh God, if you pervert the gospel of grace in this, take away our Bibles, whatever they're trying to do today, what is going to happen? There is no hope left. Every person that has ever been born, every person on this earth, they need the gospel of grace. There's no other way. Do you understand? Oh, and I say, oh God, sin will do anything. Sin has no limits. And when the Holy Spirit is getting ready to be restrained, and it could happen any moment when the church is gone, you want to see sin. Oh God, the things that are coming upon that planet. You say, Bill, what are you saying? I'm saying that's the truth of the gospel. That is the living word of God. There's only one gospel. There's one Savior who gave himself for our sins. And there's only one way a person can be saved. You must receive God's free gift. His name is Jesus Christ. That is the truth of the gospel. You see, Satan, he has a gospel. He won't let you know it's him, but he has a gospel. He tells everybody, oh, listen, I can offer you a way of life without any relationship with God. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but it leads only unto death. Father, we praise you and we thank you for your holy, holy, thrice holy word. And Father, this morning, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Christian, if you're out of the will of God, you need to get right now. You need to say, Jesus, I've been trying to earn your love. I'm trying to work hard enough for you to accept me and love me and forgive me. No, you're just trust in him. Christian, trust in him. Don't try to earn his love. You can't. It's freely given unto you. Forgiveness, he's forgiven you. Your sins are washed away. But if you're not a Christian this morning, if in this auditorium, listen to me. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ because there's no hope. His name is Jesus. You need to ask him to come and be in your heart right now. If that's you, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You lift your hand up and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian right now. I'm not asking you to come to this altar. Coming to the altar doesn't save you. I'm asking you to lift your hand up to God and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian. Quickly, if that's you, let me see your hand. If not, I'm going to close out in prayer. Anyone, make sure. I want to make sure. Anyone. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I rejoice that everyone here is saved then. And I pray if there's anyone in the second service that's not, that you will displace the wicked one from them. And when they arrive here, they have no choice but to come to Christ. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel of grace. Oh, the unmerited, unchangeable divine favor of God through Jesus Christ. We give you praise now. And one day in heaven, we will really give you praise. We ask it, we believe it, we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen.